Hochstein's diva behavior and Netanyahu's strikes, a coordinated pressure campaign, dotting I's and crossing T's with Narsec and Deal. The occupying entity's announcement regarding US envoy Amos Hochstein's confirmed visit to Tel Aviv from Beirut on Wednesday coincided with a US official statement to Axios confirming Hochstein's imminent arrival in Beirut. However, this confirmation did not negate the fact that doubts about the visit initially emerged from Washington itself. These doubts weren't errors by amateurs, but deliberate tactic employed by seasoned professionals. Axios had first reported skepticism about Hochstein's visit, citing US officials, only to retract it 2.5 hours later. Within that short span, Israel forces launched intense airstrikes, including one targeting Beirut's heart, Zakar al-Balat, alongside dozens of strikes in southern Lebanon and the Bekaa Valley. At 5 p.m., Axios quoted U.S. officials stating that Hochstein had informed Lebanese Speaker of Parliament Nabih Bury about postponing his visit until Lebanon clarified its position on the settlement proposal. According to these officials, the ball is in Lebanon's court, and the U.S. expected answers before Hochstein's departure for Beirut. By 5:45 p.m., Lebanese Deputy Speaker Elias Abu Saab told CNN that Hochstein didn't intend to make a failed visit to Lebanon, but sought a trip focused on sealing an agreement. He acknowledged, however, that no official date for Hochstein's visit had been set as of then. By 8:45 p.m., Speaker Nabih Bury dispelled the rumors, confirming through Ashraq al-Awsat that Hochstein's visit to Beirut was scheduled for Tuesday. He expressed surprise at the speculation about its cancellation, which had undermined the optimism for a political solution over a military escalation. Just an hour earlier, Israeli Channel 12 reported that Hochstein would be heading to Beirut after receiving clarifications from the Lebanese side that could facilitate a settlement. This oscillation in messaging seems to reflect a calculated strategy. It highlights Israel's waning ability to leverage force while signaling that any demands, such as unrestricted military access across Lebanese air, land and sea, amount to stripping Lebanon of sovereignty. Although Israel lacks the military leverage to enforce such terms, the balance is yet to shift decisively enough for Israel to revert fully to Resolution 1701, which envisions a zone south of the Litani River free of heavy resistance weaponry. Under this framework, the coexistence of armed Lebanese villages and resistance groups such as Hezbollah and Amal stands against settlers and their arms. However, maintaining strategic assets like airspace dominance and occupying areas such as Sheba Farms remains critical for Israel's control over war and peace dynamics. Hochstein's calculated diplomacy and Netanyahu's airstrikes share a single objective, signaling dissatisfaction with Lebanon's response to Hochstein's proposal, co-authored with Ron Dermer, Israel's strategic affairs minister. The dual tactics, escalating Israeli airstrikes, including three assaults on Beirut within 36 hours, and threatening to suspend Hochstein's mission without cancelling it outright, serve to pressure Lebanon into modifying its stance. The implicit threat is clear. Should Hochstein's mission fail, Lebanon will face a brunt of intensified Israeli aggression. Lebanon, however, has repeatedly confronted such scenarios and has responded by holding firm to its position while the resistance strikes back at the heart of the occupying entity, Tel Aviv. Negotiations under fire will continue. The tug of war over Hochstein's mission will likely resurface. But ultimately, it is the battlefield that dictates the parameters of power.